among the different Gdol Yisrael that showed a lot of reverence to the Sefer Orches Tzadikim was the Baal Reishis Chochma, the Mechaber of the Sefer Reishis Chochma, Rebbe Eliyahu Dividash, who lived in Tzfas, one of the noted Baalim Mekubalim. Sefer Reishis Chochma is a very popular Sefer. It's not that easy of a Sefer. It's a very serious Sefer. But what makes it somewhat difficult sometimes is because it is, from time to time, it is interspersed with various thoughts and ideas of Kabbalah. But nevertheless, there's quite a bit there that is also written with in simple language. And it's a Sefer that deals with various middos, various traits, also various shiurim, gates of Ahava, love of Hashem, gates of Yira, or reverence to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. The Sefer Reishis Chochma, interestingly enough, brings the Sefer Orches Tzadikim quite a number of times, but he had it, interestingly, in a ksavya, the manuscript form. Let me just give you an idea. The Reishis Chochma lived in the 1500s. He passed away, he was Nifter in 1587. So most of his life was in the first half, you know, of the 1500s, going back that while. And the interesting thing that when the Sefer Orches Tzadikim that we are learning, at that time in manuscript form, the title of the Sefer was not Orches Tzadikim. And we have mentioned that. It is referred to sometimes in different names. And he refers to it as Sefer HaMidos. The Sefer, you know, of building character traits. He refers to it sometimes as based Midos, which is the house that contains all the various midos, and so on. Sometimes he writes, Mechabrim in a Mechabrim, Hamadabrim Bedivre Chasidus. He quotes a Mechabra of the many Mechabrim who talk about great ideas of piety. Chasidus refers to the Sefer Orches Tzadikim, and so on. Interesting thing that the Baal Reishis Chochma was someone who was born in Tzfas, and he was a Talmud of the great Baal Mekubal, who the Arizal considered to be one of the greatest of his time, which is Rav Moshe Kardaviro, known as the Ramak. People are always saying Kabbalah knows strong form, and we had studied a few years ago one of the Svarim of the Ramak, which is the Sefer Toimer Dvoire. Okay, he's the Mechaber of the Sefer Toimer Dvoire, Rav Moshe Kardaviro, and the Reishis Chochma was a Talmud of him, was a Talmud of Rav Moshe Kardaviro. Towards the end of his life, he lives in Hebron, becomes one of the chief Rabbonim in Hebron. He loses his father at quite a young age. The Reishis Chochma loses his father at a young age, and he was left in abject poverty. He didn't have anything, but his lifestyle was such that he really didn't need much. Of course, a little you have to subsist. His whole life was a life of Kedusha, a person who lived a life of abstinence, a person who simply dedicated his life to Avodas Hashem, as there were the great Chassidim of the years before him. And after the Patira of the Ramak, after Moshe Kardaviro was Nifter, so the Ksovim, the manuscripts of Moshe Kardaviro, were given over into the hands of the Reishis Chochma. Interesting just to bring out that he brings in the Reishis Chochma in Shar HaAhava, dealing with Ahavas Hashem. So in the Sefer Reishis Chochma in Shar HaAhava, he says the following. He talks about the great people that he had met, and he's saying that Ro'inu Chachomim Shoyibikim Bechochmas HaKoras HaParzuf. He said, we have seen people who are able to look at a person's face, and by looking at the person's face, they were able to recognize and to read off the person's personality and the person's history. He talks about that the face of a person has a lot of his life written over it, but you have to be able to read it. And he says that this is known as Chochmas HaParzuf. So he says, we have seen Chachomim who knew that. Not only that, he says, Loima liyodom kol masha oso. He says, the people who had the wisdom to be able to read and who knew Chochmas HaParzuf by looking at a person's face, to be able to know whatever that person did. They say that some people are afraid of going to Rebbe's for that reason, so they go very quickly to the mikveh first. So if there's anything there, at least the mikveh will block it off temporarily or something, that it wouldn't show up on the surface to be able to read it. And he says that But it's clear, he says, Reish Chachma, that of all the inyonim of Kedusha that a person has to have this Chachma, this wisdom, to be able to do that, to look at a person, and to be able to ascertain, right, the whole panemius of that person, Vadai Shloi Zochu Lechachma Hazois Hanifloa, because it's close to Ruach HaKodesh. First he says, El Mitzad Maseyem V'chassidusam, Avada Navada. No, this is not something you can study from a book, he says. But this has to do with the great Kedusha that the person possesses, and his Maisim, and his Chassidus, and through that the person will be able to have that kind of a schus, to have this kind of Chochmah. As he says, it's Kreibel Ruach HaKodesh, it's something that's very close, even though you're looking at the face, thereby you're knowing it, but that itself is not a simply a natural order of things, but you have to have this type of Kedusha. Then he goes on further, and he says, regarding the halacha that it says that if you see any of the great Chachmei Yisrael, you make a brocha. Roye Chachmei Yisrael, right? Gemara and brochas. If someone sees Chachmei Yisrael, you make a brocha. Baruch Shecholak Mechachmosel Yireyov. Make a brocha that Hashem, right? That Hashem shared of his Chachmah to those who fear him. Baruch Shecholak Mechachmosel Yireyov. And he says, Ukimoy Shereinu Poitzvas. These kind of chachomim that were worthy, that we should make a brach over them, we in Tzfas have seen quite a bit of those kind of chachomim. And he says, chachomim shoyeroy levorach aleihem brachazu. So we are accustomed to seeing those kind of great people that are worthy, that when upon seeing them, that we should make that brach. So interesting, this what we quoted was actually Shara Hava. In Shara Yira Perek Yud Beis, he says the following. He says that in the year 1570, he says, B'choy Yishalo, he says, in my dream came a particular neshama that passed away. It might be somehow reminding us of what we discussed the weeks before regarding the Baal Shevet Musar, who wrote in his forum that he had many, many encounters of having communication with neshamas from the other world, and was able to communicate with them. So the Reish Chachma also mentions that it was Chodesh Elul. He dates it. It was Chodesh Elul in the year 1570. So a particular nefesh came to me, Acha Petirosoi, that came to me after his Petira. He says, Kemo Gimel Chadoshim, was about 3 months since the person had passed away. But you see, Makir Boi Shoy Yemes, and I recognized that apparently he did not know this person when he was alive, but he recognized that this person, this nefesh, this person is not Bo'ilam anymore. And he told me that he's being judged in the upper world. Shedonin Bo'isoy Oilam. He told me that he's being judged. And he said that of the things that they are very particular about in the Oilam Elyons, writes the Reish Chachma, Umanishim. And they punish al digduk hadvarim biyoser memashu odem yachshav b'datim. More than you can think, you can imagine, they are very particular about what comes out of a person's mouth. So the Chovetz Chaim knew a little bit what he was talking about. As you see, as the Reish Chachmah mentions that in Hashem came and sort of like told him firsthand about the things that he is going through in the other world. Now it's an interesting thing. In the Shara Hava that we mentioned before, he mentions a chosid, Rav Lapidus. He calls him a chosid, must be a great man, obviously. And he says that a chosid Rav Lapidus was made in front of my Rebbe, was also his Rebbe, he says, Rav Moshe Kardeviro. So this chosid Rav Lapidus himself was a great man. So this Rav Lapidus came to Rav Moshe Kardeviro and told him that he saw in a dream another chosid, and he mentions the name, must have been popular, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Shushan, La'acha Petirosai. So because this chosid Rav Lapidus says to Rav Moshe Kardeviro that he saw in a dream, this Rabbi Lapidus saw in a dream Rabbi Yehuda Bar Shushan, who is a chosid, he says, chosid knows not Stam, when he said the word chosid, he means a great man, after the Petira. And he says, V'yeponov zoiharos kechama, and he saw him, his face was shining and radiant as the sun, as glorious as the sun. Not only that, V'cholsa mizukonoi, every hair of his beard, hoye mavrik, he says, kemenoire. It was like radiant, illuminating, mamish like a menorah. And he told him that v'zocha lekach, he was zoche to this radiance, mipne shekol yomov nizher meledaber dvorim b'teilim. So again, he's talking about the digdik hadvorim, about how great a person can come to madregas by being careful about his dibur. Just mention one final thing here, that regarding the Sefer Reish Chachmah, the Chido, right, himself who wrote the Sefer Shem HaGdoilim, Chido had a great library, and he did a lot of research on Gedolei Yisrael. So the Chido writes in the Sefer Shem HaGdoilim regarding the Sefer Reish Chachmah, in the entry, when he talks about the Reish Chacham, the Chidor writes, Sefer Kodesh V'Noira. So writes the Chidor. Sefer Kodesh V'Noira Hamfursim B'chol Yisrael. So he was popular already, seeing the time of the Chidor so widely popular. And he says, V'ashrei Odom She'il Moed Boy Kol Yoim. Ad Kedekach. The Chidor says, fortunate is the person who would study in that Sefer every day, V'yasek Kivah. He says, Shir Echo, to have a Shir. Vadai is noitzitz boy kedusha v'tahara. There's no question, says the Chidor, in my mind, the person's connected with that sefer, right, will have right a lot of kedusha and tahara, which will be sprouting forth, and he will be able to adopt these madregas of kedusha and tahara. So, in any case, as we say, so the Baal Reish Chacham himself is someone who is quite a, as we say, a fan of and revered very strongly the Sefer Arche Tzadikim. So now we move on to the Sefer Arche Tzadikim. We had 7 shiurim so far in the Shar HaGaiva, and I think it's moving a little slowly, so we should take a look a little bit at Shar HaNova. Alright, so this is really the 8th shiur Shar HaNova. It's on Daf Chav Beis in the Arche Tzadikim Shar HaNova, which is the shiur which deals now with humility, which is just the opposite, of course, of Gaiva. Which is the opposite of Gaiva. All right. Says the Arche Tzadikim as follows. He says, Anova, he mida toiva. Says, Anova is something which is, it's a noble trait. And of course, vihi hepach haGaiva. It is just the opposite of arrogance, the opposite of pride. Umi sheyesh boy, he says, hamida hazois. One who acquires this mida of humility, that alone, just acquiring humility, Kvaheshiv Nafshoi Mikamna Minarois, has saved and spared himself many, many aspects of evil. Just being a non of alone is something which brings a person and it spares him and it saves him, it smatzel him from many different kinds of rois, of bad things. Umi, he says, Shihigia Almala Zoisa Nechbedis, and one who is able to reach this honored state, now it's not an easy thing to attain the milo of another, certainly appropriately. So the one who is successful in attaining this milo, this honorable milo, he says, is azoy. When oise mitzvah, when he does the mitzvah, umekabel schar lefi goydel anvisanusoy. Well, the Yochad Tzadikim is telling us something very interesting. When you do a mitzvah, of course, there's reward in Shemayim for the act of the mitzvah. Well, the Yochad Tzadikim is telling us, when a person does a mitzvah, and it is accompanied with the midah of anova, the schar of the mitzvah is added. Because Baruch Hu adds to the schar according to the measure of anova that a person has. So in other words, the anova, the midah of anova actually enhances the schar of any mitzvah. You say to yourself, anova is one thing, and the mitzvah you're doing is another thing. Right? Everything stands on its own. Or Chizdikim tells us, Umakabu sochel fi goylim v'sanusoy. Which means that the schar that he receives on mitzvahs, right, will be enhanced according to the midah of the anova, and you'll understand soon why. Why is it that the schar of the mitzvah he puts on tefillin? If he's not an onov, so you have mitzvah tefillin per se. But if he's an onov, then the schar of mitzvah tefillin, right, is all that much more. How does that add to the mitzvah itself? And even it's a great thing, but how is it connected to any particular mitzvah? We'll soon see. And he says, you know why? Because the truth is, anova is the shayrish of serving Hashem. Avodas Hashem, really, the shayrish of that has to do with anova. Anova is the shayrish of avoda. And the reason is that we stop for a moment to explain this, as is understood by those who learn Arche Tzadikim. Because what is anova? Anova means that a person, right, is mizbatal himself, he becomes bottle, right, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person has his batlus for Kodesh Baruch Hu, he becomes batl. In other words, he basically dissolves himself, as it were, for Kodesh Baruch Hu. I am only, right? I am now completely under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's being, which means that the more that a person allows himself, the more his batlus that a person has to Kodesh Baruch Hu, the more Eved Hashem he is. The definition of an Eved means, an Eved is someone, if you take the word Eved, a slave, what does Eved mean? An Eved means that his batl doesn't have his own identity, he is batl to his master. That's what an Eved means. The more his batlus, right, the more that a person is batl to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the greater Eved Hashem he is. And what is the, right, what is the necessary ingredient to be able to have his batlas to Kodesh Baruch Hu, anova. Because the more that he thinks that he is, right, the harder it is for him to be mevatel himself. So anova brings a person to become an Eved Hashem. So Shairish Ravaida. Avoid is promotion Abdus. Shairish Ravaida, the Shairish of Avaida is Anova. Because through Anova a person, right, becomes an Eved Hashem. So of course the mitzvah that person does, that we are all Avodim Takadish Baruch Hu. So it comes out that Anova is the Shairish of Abdus. So therefore, if a person does a mitzvah with greater Anova, his Avoida Hashem is greater. Because he did the mitzvahs, right? That the idea of doing a mitzvah is to serve Hashem. That's avodah. But Torah is Eved. As an Eved serves his master. We serve Hashem. Serving Hashem, the greater Eved that we are, the greater we are serving Hashem. So doing a mitzvah, Torah is Avdus. Doing a mitzvah, Torah is Avdus, is measured by how much Anova we have. The more Anova we have, so may we have greater Eved Hashem in our avodah. A number of years ago, I believe we had on the sheet, on the Chumash sheet, on the Parshas Emor, it was, a particular year, where the Sasema says there are Dobra Nifla. Know that there's halach, of course, we know that a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. A Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. A Yisrael and a Levi is not allowed to eat Truma. So, the person has Tvuah, right, you have grain, so there's a mitzvah, right, you're not allowed to eat it, and that's Yisrael, right, unless you separate a certain amount, and you give that to Kohen, that becomes sanctified, it becomes consecrated, and only the Kohen can eat it. A Yisrael cannot eat it, and a Levi cannot eat it. But if a Kohen had an Eved Kenani, right, if he had an Eved Kenani, the Eved Kenani is allowed to eat it. Matter of fact, if a Kohen has an animal, right, he's allowed to feed the animal Truma. And the question is, who has more Kedusha? A Yisrael, a Poshet Yisrael even, or an Eved Kenani, right, or a Behema? And why is it that a Behema of a Kohen, because Stama Behema not, the Behema of a Kohen is allowed to eat. The Eved of a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma, but a Yisrael is not allowed to eat Truma. The Sasema says, you know why? Because the definition of an Eved means that he is bottled to his master. He does not have his own identity. So the Eved, once you are an Eved, we don't look at him as Eved Kenani, as a Kenani. We look at him as being an extension of the Kohen. He's bottled to the Kohen, because that's what an Eved means. The Behem also does not have her own identity. But the one who owns her, right? So she becomes bottled. She can bottle, therefore, a subdivision, right, of her master. And that's why, so it's like the master himself exercising that right. It's not the Eved is using it, or the Behem is using it. However, Yisrael, who is not an Eved of a Kohen, he's not allowed to eat it. He has his own identity. As a Yisrael, you can't eat it. The definition of Eved means his batlus. That's an Eved Kenani Keni Truma. Because he's totally, his whole identity, right, his whole identity is the identity, the fact is that he is the Eved of a Kohen. He's a slave of a Kohen. So we are Eved Hashem means that we become bottled to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and in order to become bottled to Kodesh Baruch Hu is if we have humility, if we have Anova. So Anova is Shoyevish Shavoida. And he points out, he says, Umay Sekotin Shal Anova, that even a small deed with humility is accepted by Kodesh Baruch Hu, Miskabel Itna Hashem Baruch Hu, is accepted in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Elif Yodesh, 1,000 times more, Yoyser, Mimay Sekotin Shal Agaiva, than a great deed done, right, with pride. At Kedekach goes the Milo of Anova. That even a small deed, but if it's alongside Anova, it's received, right, by Kodesh Baruch Hu, 1,000 times, Yosef says, 1,000 times more, he says, than even a great deed that was done with Gaiva. And he says, I'll show you. V'cheinom Rabbi Seinu. Find that in fact, that our Rebbe's Chazal have told us, that Echad Hamarbe, the Echad Hamamit, whether someone does much or someone does little, as long as he does it l'shem shemayim, that's what counts. So you see that even someone does little, but if it's l'shem shemayim, it's accepted a lot. And the idea is because the person who does little is because he's doing as much as he can do. The person who is doing the mamit, the person who is doing less, because he did whatever he's able to do. The person who could afford more is doing more because he could afford all that more. And we learn out that even if someone, right, is only able to afford little, but nevertheless he gives little, is just as important, as a matter, even more sometimes, than one who could afford more, because we learn out we find by a carbon. The Torah tells us when a person brings a carbon, it says, Reach Nechayach Lashem, that what this has, the sweet, savoring smell, so to speak, it's just a moshel, that a carbon provides. And we find the Lashon, Isha Reach Nechayach Lashem, we find it both by an oil sa'if. Who brings the bird? That is the oni, the poor man, who can't afford the behemah, cannot afford to bring the carbon of an animal, so he brings the bird, the oil sa'if. And the same thing by Oilas Behemah, which one who could afford, because it's a much more expensive offering. The Oilas Behemah is much more expensive. The Torah uses the exact same lotion. Because Baruch Hu accepted with the same pleasure, as it were, right, that is being offered up by giving a Behemah sacrifice. The same thing is also by Oilas Ha'if as well. So we see that both are equal. And Mamela, so what the Yochid Tzadikim is telling us, that it's not just the quantity of what one gives, it is the quality that is behind it. There's a quality that is behind it. And what's the quality? Shechav libo l'shamayim. It's not about him. It's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So whatever he's doing, it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He goes on to say, Avo maise shel ha-gaive. He says, but if it's a maise, that is with pride, with gaive, with arrogance, Eina miskabel lifnei Hashem Yisborach, lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But something that is done with gaive is something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu really, it's not accepted. Ki hi toyavas nafshoi. Because this is a principle of balgaive, this is abomination. This is the abomination, Shneimar, the Pasuk says, Toyavas Hashem called Givalev, which means that every arrogant heart, right, is an abomination. Toyavas Hashem called Givalev. Any person who is a Givalev, that's an abomination. This is a pasuk in Mishle, as you can see. And if you take a look at the Malbim in Mishle, in the Malbim in Mishle points out, with the emphasis, Toyavas Hashem called Givalev. When it comes to Gaive, it says, Toyavas Hashem called Givalev. Givalev is the arrogance, right, or the pride in the heart. Malm points out, Bederach Klal, if a person only had a machshava to do something which is inappropriate, you don't really get direct punishment from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It was only a machshava, it was not a maise. We say machshava, ro en a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is not nistarach la maise. So the person, right, had in mind the machshava to do something which is not right, so there's no direct oinish. The Malbim suggests that there's no direct oinish, but it could be an indirect oinish even for machshava. The Hayinu Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to remove my shmira from you and you might be open to the elements, but it's not going to be a direct oinish. I'm not going to send a direct oinish, but you know what, you're going to be left for a while without shmira, and you're open to the elements and things can happen to you. In any case, for a machshava b'yalma, just merely having a machshava, when you have a machshava, there's no direct oinish. However, says the Malbim, gaive, the machshava of gaive, that itself is the avera. Toyavas Hashem called gevalev, having it in the heart, that itself is the avera. So, well, there is a direct oinish. There's a direct punishment. That's the emphasis of the pasuk. Toyavas Hashem called gevalev. Every other avera that's belave, right? There's no direct oinish for something that's merely belave. If you did not facilitate it, didn't actually do it. But gaive is different. The Aveira itself is having it in your heart. Toyavas Hashem kol gvalev. That goof is the Aveira. And he says further, more consequences. He says, Ubabuzeh. He says, Soyek veinanane. That's a reason also where a person cries out to Hashem, he davens to Hashem, and somehow his tefillos are not accepted. Shenemar, there's a pasuk, Gam ki sarbu tefilo eineni shomea. Right? The pasuk says, Gam ki sarbu tefillah, which means even though you might intensify your tefillah, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if it were, says, I don't hear it. As if I don't hear it. This would be another possible explanation. People many times ask kashyas about, why is it I've davened, and Hashem doesn't seem to hear me. Hashem doesn't seem to hear me. First of all, that itself is a misnomer. In Beis Brisk, they said, we make a bracha to Hashem, Shomea tefillah. Doesn't say Mekabel tefillah. Kodesh Baruch Hu heard it. Maybe it's not Mekabel, what you wanted. You didn't get exactly what you wanted. But not that Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't hear. Kodesh Baruch Hu heard it. Baruch HaTashem Shomea tefillah. So that can be sure Kodesh Baruch Hu hears it. Now whether he's Mekabel tefillah or not, that's up to Kodesh Baruch Hu decide, right, what the merits of the situation is. But Kodesh Baruch Hu definitely heard it. Now the Nekud is, of the many different, first of all, many people, why Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't accept my tefillah? Besides the fact Shmuel has Rishmon, he really knows what's really good for you or not. Sometimes people ask for things which is just against their better interest. They just don't understand it. Like a child may ask for a sharp knife, which seems very attractive, and the parent will not give it because he understands it can hurt him, and so on and so forth. But the child will never understand that. We, in relation to Kodesh Baruch Hu's wisdom, are much more distant than the wisdom, of course, the difference between the child's wisdom and the wisdom of the parent, who is the adult and who knows what's much better. But besides the fact, maybe I feel the chlal was not a bekavana, which the Gemara says, befesh meshashone, that two people were mispalel, ze nana ve ze lo nana, because this one was mispalel bekavana, this was not mispalel. So maybe we should even check the question, if they were really mispalel bekavana. That's another question, which many times, right, is far from reaching, right, the madrega of kavana, even sometimes basic kavana. But here we have another factor. There's so many different factors. Could be maybe we just have a little bit too much gaiva within ourselves. Maybe we have to work a little bit more on the anova, on the anivis. And that's the nekuda that he's bringing out over here. That's the nekuda that he's bringing out, that he says, Ubav zet soik venanana. It shall that a person should be soik, and venanana, we see that in fact that he's not being answered. So this is another factor, something important to remember. So this is another factor, something which is important to remember. And what we see further, we say, by the way, it says Gam Kisabu Tfil. It's interesting. He points out that Anivis has something to do with Kabbalah Tfilah. So I just want to mention to you that in fact, if you take a look at the Gemara in Brachos Davov Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us, well, we know the first part, but may not remember the second part. The Gemara says that Kol Kaveya Mokim with Tfilosoi. There's a need to be Kaveya Mokim with Tfilosoi. A person should be Kaveya Mokim. In the Rishayim, different opinion exactly. Does Kaveya Mokim mean always try to daven the same Dalet Amos or in the same Beis HaKnesses? Now, if you daven the same Beis HaKnesses, that's called Kriyas Mokim, or should you also be makpid in the same area, in the same Dalet Amos? Ayin Barbeinu Yoin over there, difference of opinion exactly what Kaveya Mokim means. But Kapalim said there's a big union to be Kaveya Mokim. And the Gemara says, a person who does that is a Lekei Avroham Yebezroi. Means that Kodesh Baruch will stand by his side, a Lekei Avroham. Lekei Avroham will be Bezroi. Ukishemes, and when he dies, you know what kind of a hesped he deserves? Oimrim Olov. We say, Hey Onov, Hey Chosid, Metalmidov, Shalabrom Avinu. So very interesting. So among the things that we say, when I say he's a Chosid, he's a person who's makbid on tefillah. So he's Kavei Mokim. But you see, it's called an Onov. Somehow we see that the inyan of tefillah, right, the inyan of appreciating tefillah, in order also that our tefillah should be properly executed, be able to present to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Anivis is all part of that. Kaveya Mokim Mutfilosa is basically someone, right? Someone who understands that I have to actually confine myself. I have to confine myself because I know that in order to daven, right, I can't just take it haphazardly. And there's an inyan of being Kaveya Mokim Mutfilosa, especially like the Tzlach says, the Tzlach explains it actually. The Tzlach says when you daven in a place, once the Tfilah is Mekadesh Mokim, that place now has received Kedushin because of your tefillah. Therefore, the second time you daven, the mokim, the Kedushas HaMokim, helps you that you'll be able to daven even better. Very interesting what Chazal said. A person who's not kevei mokim tefillosoi says, I can do it by myself. I don't need any assistance. That is the opposite of anivus. A person who's kevei mokim tefillosoi understands the importance of always coming back to the place, because every time he davens, the Kedushas HaMokim becomes even greater, which therefore gives him a better chance the next time to daven, because he has the assistance of the Kedushas HaMokim, which helps him. In any case, we see from the Gemara applies Anivus to Kevei Mokim with Filosoi. So it goes further. In other words, what it means to say is a person do mitzvahs, and in a certain sense, it becomes, they say to him, you're doing mitzvahs, you bal gaive, you're doing mitzvahs? Shenema the Postik says, you know, Yeshaya Novi says, Mi bikesh zois miyetchem. If you don't behave properly, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, who asked you, he says, Remois chatzera, to trample in my courtyard, as it were. You know, you have to be presentable. You come before a king, you have to be presentable. You have to wear appropriate begotten. You have to be in your best behavior. When you're standing before Hashem, you also have to be in your best behavior. And a kopadim, you can't be in abhorrent behavior. So therefore, that's the idea of anivus, he says, if you want to daven, and what you want to do in your mitzvah to serve Hashem. Or maybe korban veinah miskabel, he says. It's possible you can bring a korban and will not be really received in Shemayim. Shenema, the Pesuk says, the Malachi, the Novi says, Mi gam bochem v'yizgor dolosayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu, as it were, complains and says, you know, I wish that you would close the doors of my Beis HaMikdash. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, this kind of behavior, do I need you to come through the doors of my Beis HaMikdash and give me karbonis? Do I really need your karbonis? Halavai, somebody would be there as if to say, and close the doors. Migam bochem v'yizgor delosayim, says the Novi. The Rabbi said, do I need you to come give me karbonis? That's what he's trying to say. Maybe karbon ven miskabel. Because Rabbi doesn't need those kind of karbonis. He needs the person behind the karbon. U'mincha lo etzem yedchem, he says, I will not accept this kind of offering. And also the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, V'nemar. The Pasuk says, Oyloseichem sefu al zivcheichem. An oil we know is a burnt offering, is a carbon that's not eaten, right? It's totally, it's kuloi kolu. Now why does a person bring a carbon oil? You realize a person gives a carbon oil, it's a sacrifice, something which he really has nothing out of it, he can't eat it. He's giving it kuloi to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, he stands more to gain of bringing a different kind of a carbon. Let's say a carbon shlomen, which can be eaten. He stands more to gain personally by bringing a carbon shlomen. So it would seem it's more admirable, right, for a person to bring an oilah, because an oilah means he's not looking for to take anything out for himself. Right? An oilah seems to be more praiseworthy. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know what? With your behavior, you're wasting your time. Why give me an oilah which you have nothing out of it? Bring a shlomen so you can eat something too. You think you're doing such a magnanimous thing, you're giving me a carbon oilah. You're giving a carbon oilah. The carbon is going to waste. At least bring another type of a carbon so you can also have something for it. So it won't go totally to waste. You'll have something out. Look at the Lashon of the Pasuk. It says, oilah seichem sefu, add carbon oilahs al zivchechem on your regular carbonis. Vehichlu basas, now you're going to be able to eat something. Rashi explains it that way. Rashi and Yirmiyah. So you're bringing in carbon oil, you know what, you're wasting it. Because I'm not receiving it really. So who has, you don't have anything from it, and I don't have much out of it. So please bring a type of carbon, at least you'll have something to get. That's the Nakuda that's pointing out here. Maybe carbon vein and miskabel. Avoli says further, the midas lanova. But in fact, if someone has the mid of humility, vashiflus and lowliness, magia lachol toif, this will bring him to everything good. Because the Pasuk says, Kila anovim yiten chen. Because to those that are anovim, those who have humility, the Pasuk says, they will find favor. Kodesh Baruch Hu will favor them. And you know what that means? You know what it means if you find favor in the eyes of Hashem? You know what that means? You know what you stand to gain? Tremendous gain! If all you can only do is to find favor in the eyes of Hashem, it says, "V'kiv mishesh l'chein beina Kodesh Baruch Hu." And if a person is able to find favor in the eyes of Hashem, "Tzoyeg v'nama miyad," then he cries out to Hashem and he's answered right away. Shema, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, "Terem yikro," even before they call out, the Pasuk says, "Vani ene," and I answer. Lo yisum mitzvahs, and he does mitzvahs, u'mekabel mo'isum menachas u'besimcha. And Shemayim, heaven accepts it, right, with pleasantness and with simcha, with happiness. All the mitzvahs, we're so happy to receive your mitzvahs. Shenema, the Pasuk says in Kehelo, Shlomo HaMelech says, Ki kvar rotzo holikim es masecho. Hashem approved your ma'isim. Not only Hashem approves it, he's waiting for it. He desires your kind of mitzvahs, the kind of mitzvahs that Hashem is looking out for. Because the Pasuk says, "V'orval Hashem," it is so sweet to Hashem. Something that is sweet, you hope for it, you wait for it. What is sweet? Minchas Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, the offerings that Yidden out of Yehuda and Yerushalayim that they bring to Hashem. So fine. So the mitzvah of Anova brings to Kol Tuv. All of the milas, you find favor in the eyes of Hashem. Your tefillahs will be answered. Your mitzvahs and your ma'isim are accepted, they are received with simcha, with nachas. Goes on to say, umahi hu anova. So the ma'isim says, what is this anova? What is it? Well, he says, it goes like this. It's my anova. What is anova? So he points out that we talk about anova. The way anova works, he says, the way anova works is, he hachno v'shiflus hanefesh. It's, in a certain sense, it's sort of like self-effacement. We'll soon explain what that means. It's like self-effacement, shiflus hanefesh, is lowliness, v'choshev atzmei ka'ayin. A person regards himself as not. Now, we'll soon explain what that means. V'odam chayev b'cholese b'cholzman. Anova is not something that's only temporarily. On a Monday, a Tuesday, part of the day, it's 24/7. B'cholese b'cholzman. Liyaznivez abein of means unworthy, means as much as I serve Hashem, I should realize there's so much more to do. Ushfal ruach, he's lowly of spirit. Derech v'rach levav, he's soft of heart. V'ruach nishbora. A person basically who understands that, as we will soon explain what he's referring to, a person realizes that his being here on this world is to serve Hashem, and therefore his importance is measured and is going to be gauged according to the extent as he's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we go on to point out, how is a person supposed to view himself in order to get anova in relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? As he says, Shoyresh anova. The root of anova is as follows, and here's the nekuda. He says there's two possibilities in a person's life where a person might attain anova. There is a time where a person becomes humble. Because why? Because simply tragedy has befallen him. Tragedy has befallen him and he finds no way. He doesn't see any. He doesn't see any pattern, does not see any logical way to come out. So now he's forced to humble himself and stand before Hashem and throw up his arms and say, he understands, I can't do it. I need Hashem, I need your assistance. Tragedy of all different types of sorts, in any different which way, brings a person to humility. And even though, the Or HaSidikim says, it was only because of tragedy, right, that brought you, but the fact is, it's also accepted by Hashem. But that is not, he says, the highest level. That is not really the Madrega Vanov. The Madrega Vanov is when everything is going your way. When you find yourself being successful, and things are okay, and things are comfortable for you. So then there is always the challenge of feeling that you are something. No. To be an onov and become bottled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when things are going your way. That's what he points out. Shoyrish Anov, the root of Anov. With the mainstay in the real Madrega being an onov, Sheyachshu Be'atzmoi, that he should consider Be'oid Shehu Sholei V'Shoket, when things are calm, when things are tranquil, Bori, Baruch Hashem, he's healthy, Be'oshir, he's rich, Asher HaBoirei Baruch Hu Heiti V'Moi Toivo, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, well, he's doing toivus with him. So he understands, right? He understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing the toivah. That's the anova. The anova is when things are going his way, he understands HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing the toivah. It wasn't me. It wasn't my chokhmah. It wasn't my planning. It wasn't my doing. V'shu'eina ru'i lo. As a matter of fact, he seems and he deems himself unworthy. Like Yaakovina said, k'toynti mikol ha-chasodim. Right? I become humbled from all of these chasodim. V'shu'yachshoiv gedula sokeil. Right, Dabke, when things are going his way, he should have the ability to think about the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'roime moi sifartoi, and the elevated glory that Hashem possesses. And the more you think about godless Hashem, he will realize his own shiftless, his own lowliness. V'yachshoiv, and he considers, he says, Mo'ani, so who am I? Standing like a little ant, right, standing in front of a giant. The person equates and stands. Regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Ahaloi ani ber yeshifolo miyoid, he says, what am I, only a lowly creature? And I'm living in a lowly world that is not everlasting. It's a limited world, existence in this world. Vani boilo mashofo vahakole. V'yachshoif. And he should imagine that kol masim toivim shu'ucha laso, is that all the masim toivim that I am able to do, einam kim tipim and ayam, it is only like a drop in the ocean. Imagine. How little negin mashini chayv lasses. That is the attitude that a person should have. That for all that Hashem has done for me, just the fact that you're able to breathe, you're able to see, all of these tremendous matonas that a person has, just to be able to be alive and to be able to breathe, he says, and so on and so forth. He says, everything that I've done is just like a tipim and ayam. That's all connected to what I should be obligated to do. That should be his attitude. It's unfortunate where we see that people who are far from observance, any little thing they do, they think, I've done already. And the greatest tzaddikim, you know, who serve Hashem 24 hours a day, they feel so far away. They feel so far away, and they feel there's so much more, because the closer they are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they recognize the vastness, the vast difference between what a human being is and the galus of Hashem, and the amakir, you know, serving the Melech Malcham Lochim, what that entails, and what the achrayus is.
What does it mean?
I felt, in other words, the world is also, it's a 6,000-year-old world, and then thank you, Moshe Mashiach. It's a world that's not lasting forever. This is world, it's not Netzchis, it's not eternal. This world is not an eternal world. Olam Haba is something we call an eternal world. This world is not an eternal world. It's not an eternal world. Well, when Hillel says, so Rabbi Yoini says, interesting, what the Or HaSadikim is saying right here. If you look in the Perush Rabbi Yoini to Masechtas Ovis, in Perik Aleph, where Hillel says, so Rabbi Yoini says, he says, when I am doing the right thing. In other words, if I'm not going to do for me, Mili, no one can do for me. So now you're saying, okay, so I'm going to do for myself. But realize, says Rabbeinu Yoina, Hillel is saying, "Chshani liatzmi," when I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but moani. In other words, there's so much yet left to do that after all that I have done, there's still so much left over. So chshani liatzmi, when I am doing for myself, but moani. Compared, right, to what's out there, compared to what's left to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just read you the Lashon, just two lines of Rabbeinu Yoini. You don't have it here, of course. Rabbeinu Yoini says, "Shani liatzmi moani," Adayin lo yuchal lahasig, he says, I will not be able to reach el echad min yelef, one chelik of a thousand, right? One thousandth. Mimash ani chayav lasois, from what I should be doing. That should be the attitude that a person understands. That's what Ruach HaTzaddikim talks about. That's all part of the midah of humility. It's all part of the midah of anova. The Yasa Kol Masav, he says, L'chvoit Shamayim. And he should do all of his maisim, he should be done L'chvoit Shamayim. By the way, how does the Novi say it? What does the Pozik say? Pozik says, Kol Anikra Bishmi U'l'chvoit Barosiv Yatzativ Afasisiv. Everything in creation was for L'chvoit Shamayim. So whatever he does should be for Klal Shemayim, right? To enhance the glory of Hashem. V'loy lahachlim v'shemarim should not be done because you want to flatter somebody. Chanifeh. What you're doing should be for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake. V'loy l'shem hanor. Not for your personal gain. When you're serving Hashem, then you're serving Hashem. Ach yasa haku l'shemoy ha-godl. But if you do, everything should be done l'shemoy ha-godl. You realize, the Gemara tells them, v'yidizoy daf yudzayin. Rav Chanina ben Trajan was one of those, right, of the Asar HaRuge Malchus that died under the hands of the Romans, right, Asar HaRuge Malchus. Chinim ben Trajan, his Avera was that he was Isaac B'Tayre. So I just want to remind you that Eloshin, they asked Rabbi Chinim ben Trajan, they asked them, Mipnei Ma Ata Isaac B'Tayre, after all this Exera that the Romans had made, not to be Isaac B'Tayre. Interesting thing that he answered. What was his Shuvah? Mipnei Ma Ata Isaac B'Tayre. The Eloshin is, Kashet Tzivani Hashem Alekai. This is what I'm doing. In other words, it's all the Shmoy HaGodol. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it, which means it's not about me. It's not what I can gain. It's not what I'm able to lose. Everything what I'm doing is the Ratzon HaBoyre. And that is the Tachlis of Anova. Anova means a person mevatel himself to Ratzon Hashem. Kashet Tzivani Hashem L'Kol. By the way, Rashi in Taanis says, what's Lishmo mean? Doing a mitzvah Lishmo. Rashi says, Kashet Tzivani Hashem L'Kol. That's the idea. That's what Lishmo means, doing a mitzvah Lishmo. That is the real root of Anova. But you know what? There's a lesser mid of Anova. The first mid of Anova we're talking about, right, is one who does not waiting for tragedy to bring him to his senses. He's not doing it because of these outer exterior situations. He's doing it when life is okay, when life is tranquil, when life is calm. However, he says, Aval ha-nichna lifnei ha-bayrei baruch hu. But someone who becomes nichna, somebody becomes humbled. In front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Ki sheyech legufoy. He says, when his guf becomes sick, or echad mevarov, right, or some of his limbs suffer, or maybe be'esh shemesim bonav yehava, something very tragic, he might lose a member of his family, or close friends, and so on and so forth. He recognizes that there's nowhere to turn, only Kodesh Baruch Hu. Or let's say be'esh yiridosoi, he says me'oshrug dolosoi, or a person, let's say, falls from his wealth and greatness. These are all different types of problems, situations. Or if you ask him, let's say he becomes old, he becomes infirm, he sees his limitations. So he says, "Be'emes." The truth is, he says, "Le'olam hanova v'ashiflis." He says, "Mekubal ifnei Hashem Baruch Hu." The truth is, Hashem will accept that anova also. At the end of the day, you become anova, you become humbled. Hashem will accept that also. However, he says, "Achlo higia bozel le'ikar hanova." But you did not reach what's called the ikar hanova. Because ikar hanova is not when you have no choice, when you have no brain, when your hands are tied. That is not the ikar of anova. The chayiv lehisnaig, he says, but anova, a person also is mechuyiv, because before he mentioned anova, that is when a person is viewing himself, right, regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but even regarding other people, when you're doing business with other people, in your relationship with other people also, to be humbled. The chayiv lehisnaig, he says, b'anova b'masur b'matun, he says, in bnei yodom, when he is dealing in business with people, binyone hamoman, in money matters, he should do it with nimishu esadin. But he should do things which is beyond sometimes the letter of the law, im kol odom. That's the character trait, the midah anova. V'chol hanhogoso im hoilam, and in general, all of his dealings in the world, everything should be, he says, b'shiflis, his benachas, with pleasantness, and not, he says, with power, and so on and so forth, but to do it in a humble way, and with humility. So we stop here now, Rabbi Isai, and we take a look at the sheet, and one inyan is actually that we started, we couldn't finish, we didn't even get to that, last week, which is a fascinating thing. It's a kasha that many people have asked, actually, when you're going through the parashas with the inyan with Yosef HaTzadik with his brothers. Let's take a look at the Kedushas Levi in the sheet in Parashas Miketz. Kedushas Levi in Parashas Miketz. Fascinating piece of Kedushas Levi. He said, "But Yevayo Achay Yosef." If you remember, we had also in a number of shurim in the past where the Archon Sadiqim discussed the being a Moed Aloemis. That's also part of Anivis. A person with a Balgaive will never be able to bring himself to admit that he was wrong. We brought the various Uvdis of Gedolei Yisrael, Salanter, and so on and so forth. And even if they could have answered a terrorist, that would have been satisfactory to the listeners, because they would not know. He could have tricked them or fooled them, because he was so bright and so brilliant, but he was intellectually honest and would not answer something that he knew wasn't true because of the Anivis, and he had the Midah of Moed Aloemes. So let's take a look at another thing about sensitivity, which has to do again with Anivis, which is the Hepa of a Gaiva. We have here the Kedusha Slavi Pashas Mekes, we have here on the sheet. The brothers of Yosef come, and they bow down to him, also, right, with a face to the ground. Yosef saw his brothers, he recognized them, right? They came down to Mitzrayim to buy food. And he acted strange to them, right? He acted strangely to them. What is the Pasuk trying to tell us with this? Vayisnaker aleim. What is the Pasuk trying to say that he acted strangely with them? The Pasuk really wants to tell us, Bozet Sitkas Yosef Atzadik. Hear that? Torah here wants to tell us the Sitkas of Yosef Atzadik, his righteousness. Because Kine Yosef Cholam Loi, Yosef in the dream, must remember, he dreamt She'echov Yishtachov Loi, that his brothers will bow down to him. Kerechsev V'hine Enachnu Ma'al Mimalumim, if you remember, Yosef told them that we were binding sheaves, and then he told them that my sheaf arose, right, and remained standing, and yours bowed down to me. Also about the Shemesh V'yareach, right, V'achad Osa Kechovim, as he said, bowing down to me. The Echov certainly Loi Rotsu, as we know, they did not want B'malchus Yosef Aleim. Right? They couldn't bear to think that Yosef, that he should rule over them. We know that. Now, V'nederech HaTeva, when someone can get even, right? Here would have been an opportunity for Yosef to get even with them. All that they did to him, and now he becomes king. And in fact, they bowed down to him. Yosef had the opportunity, right? If he would fall prey to the natural instincts or the natural behavior of man, his normal behavior, it's this natural behavior, when someone is victorious over someone else, and the person realizes that he has been had, right? He has been had. He realizes he lost. The person realizes he lost. So when he knows that he, right, lost because of this person. This person outdid me. Of course, you understand the bad feelings that you have. Because you thought all the time that you were above the other person. Then you find out just the opposite. That he's over you. You can imagine. But let's say that somebody, right, let's say somebody overpowers someone, but the person who lost doesn't know who was Menatzeach him. But let's say somebody, you're victorious, but you don't allow the other person to know that you are the one. Then it doesn't bother him that much. Because of course, he doesn't know the identity of the person who is, so to speak, ruling over him. Yosef certainly was Menatzeach them. He outdid them. He turned out to be the victor. Regarding the kiyum, that the dreams came true, because this in fact happened. Of course, that's something, the last thing that they wanted. That when they bowed down to him, right, so obviously right then, right, he now became the victor. He became the winner. Had they known, imagine how they would have felt. There is, oh, this is Taka Yosef. So we have to bow down to our own brother. Had they known, imagine the tzad they would have had. He acted strangely. They should not have an inkling. They shouldn't have the tzar. They thought of bowing down to someone else. That's something they could tolerate. Thinking that they would bow down to their own brother. Right? The Yidmu, they imagine Shemishav and Lacher. Ubemis, the truth is Yosef Humelech. Loyilam atzvis al hishtachvoy. Right? Kihiyovino she mishtachvino melech acher. Right? They're thinking they're bound down to another king. What's v'yakirim? V'yakirim. V'yakirim. He realized they're going to have agavas nefesh. Because now, he realized when they bowed down to them, he goes, oh, these are my brothers. The Pasuk says again, the brothers came, they bowed down, Yosef saw, and he recognized. What did he recognize? He recognized that now this is going to cause sour. He recognized this is going to cause sour, that they bowed down to him. So what's the rest of his reaction? To act strangely. They should not really know that he is Yosef. They not know. Now look what he says further. He says a mind-boggling thing. The Ef Shalomer. The Kasha that even the Rishonim asked, why Yosef becomes a king, so why didn't he send a letter to his father? Why did not let Yaakovino continue to mourn him, thinking that he's not alive all these years? Why was he not Medea? Now he was free. Yosef was already a king and was the Sheni L'Melech Mitzrayim. The Epshaloi Mashizel Yekavonis Yosef Atzadish Lo Hidia Lo'ovi, that he did not tell his father Shehu Melech Veshehu Chai, She Yosef Yoda, because Yosef knew She Yikuyim Achaloi Mes Ashechorim Lo Yalechov Shevoi Vishachvo. Yosef knew that what? That the dream is going to come true. He knows it was a Nebuah. He knew it was going to come true. They're going to bow down to him. If he would tell his father but that he was alive, so now they would know they're bowing down to Yosef. Interesting. It's kedai to be mitzar the father. Interesting, b'shev al tase, than to do a maisa to cause pain to your brothers. It's a mind-boggling. Look. He says, "Ilu hayu medial la'ovi v'yaboyim echav yishtagvoloi hoylem tzar mizeh shenutzach choisom." They are tzar that Yosef, in fact, that he came out on top. Ki yadias oviv v'yagam yadial lohem. Lochein lo yadial oviv kedesh lo yitzar esechov. It's a mind-boggling thing. But his father had tzar at the same time. So you know what? You won the war, but you don't throw it in the face of the one who lost. You don't throw it. So good. So they bowed down to a melech. But they have to know the melech is Yosef. Stucky git. They would have known Yosef, they would have had a lot of tzar. And then tzar didn't want to cause. Atkadei kach, he didn't write a letter. It's a very interesting thought, I meant to go to how far you have this kind of chishbonis. So I want to show you this idea that we spoke about, the Ian of being moed alohem. So let's take a look at number two here on top. We have a very fascinating thing, a similar thing that we had a little bit with Rav Saul Salanter. This with the Chiddush HaRim. There's a great, interesting, next to Warsaw, many people make a mistake. Everybody knows there's a place called Prague. Prague, we know what Prague is. But there's a place next to Warsaw, which is in Poland, there's a shtetl, it's called Praga. P-R-A-G-A. Pruge. It's called Pruge. There's a great goy, first of all, Menachem Zemba also was from there. And before that, there was a great goy, his name was Rabbi Yeshaya Mushkat. Tremendous goy. Bring down over here, Sefer called Hamayun Hanitzchi, Sefer. He brings down that Bikra Chidush Harim Eisel Harava Kodesh Rabishaye Mushkat Miproga. You see that? Proga. It's next to Warsaw. So the Chidush Harim once paid a visit to Rabishaye Mushkat, and Shom Pogaj Goyin, and he met over there a Goyin Shitzia Lefon of Kushe Harifa. And that Goyin presented a very sharp question, a sharp kashe. Harim Ayin Besugye, Harim looked into the Sugye. Right, Viteretz es Hashayla, and he answered the question. Ho'ireach, the guest, this Odom Godel, this Goyin, who asked the question, refused to accept the answer. Sirev lekabel es hatshuva. V'toan, and he tied it. Shehi nisteres, he says, Gemara mufreshes. He says, I have a beferish gemara. He says, an open gemara that is clearly against your teretz, against your answer. He says, Hamarach Rabbi Yeshaya, the host Rabbi Yeshaya, he tried Nisal Hazdik Sarim. He tried somehow to sort of boost up the terrace of the Chiddush HaRim. The guests seemed to, even that, he seemed to be able to cancel whatever Rabbi Yeshaya tried to say. And Bekitzer, was whatever the Rim said, the terrace the Chiddush HaRim gave, seemed to be out the window. They were discussing it for about 2 hours. Ach Rabbi Yeshaya Hiskimimoy. And Rabbi Yeshaya, matter of fact, agreed to this Odom Godel. Kol Meshech Hazman, the whole time Yoshev Harim Vishosak. The Chiddush HaRim sat quietly. So, listen, he lost. the Adam Gadol there destroyed the Teretz. She tells him it's a Gemara Mefreshes. Rabbi Shaya tries to show that maybe the Gemara is not so much against the Teretz, but 2 hours of being Mefabla. At the end, Rabbi Shaya to admit, yeah, it seems that this Adam Gadol, this Goyin, is right. And the Chiddush Rim doesn't say anything. Lamokros, the next morning, Lomar Rabbi Shaya be'iyun es ha-sugye. Rabbi Shaya is learning that sugya be'iyun, ve'noichach, now he realizes Sharim Tzodak. He realizes that the Chiddush Rim, that he is right. Nosailovs, he goes to him. He travels to him. And he tells the Chiddush Rim, you're right. I went over the sugya myself. Be'iyun. Deeply. You're right. Vishwam, he asked the Chiddush Rim, Madua Shosik v'lehiz v'zavar. So why did you keep quiet? You're right. I realize that you're right. So why didn't you speak up against this person? Hey Shiva Harim Kach, and the Chiddush Rim as it follows. Miyad Ra'isi, as soon as this person threw the Gemara against me, I saw that Gadol is making a mistake. He doesn't pshat that Gemara. I saw that right away, he said. I saw it right away. Sho'ireach to'ob b'firish ha-Gemara. He made a mistake in learning the Gemara. However, if his question against me was because he wants to know the truth, I would have told him. The question against me was not he wanted to know the truth, he wanted to be right. You know what? Let him be right. Let him think he's right. Moedigah Madrega, Rabbi Yisrael. Moedigah Madrega. People who want to know that. People who want to know that. So he says, the Rim says, Achim she'loso ho'yselam o'del o'emes. If the purpose of this person was to really know the truth, ho'yisim mefalpulimoy. I would have gotten to a discussion with him. I would be raisi ki tavas ha'nitzochen hi matarosoi. The purpose, the taiva nitzochen. He wants to win. He wants to win it. He wants to win the argument. Choshashti she'yets a taivas ha'nitzochen snagil gambalibi. I thought I'm also going to get caught up in this. I don't want to have any part of this, just winning for the sake of winning. He says, therefore, I decided the best thing would be lishtoik, gam im halo, even though he's going to think. So at the end of the day, this person thought all the time that he won. But turns out, so Kosov Rabbi Shaya, right? Rabbi Shaya went and realized it. Even interestingly, it seems that the Chiddushim didn't even tell Rabbi Shaya that. It's not only didn't tell the other person, didn't tell Rabbi Shaya. He had Rabbi Shaya thinking that what? That in fact, that the other person was right. He didn't even tell Rabbi Shaya that. Until Rabbi Shaya himself found it out. So again, this is all part of we see how much the avoida of how far midas goes, and we see that the greater that the people are, we see that the madregas how they were always garbed in their midas. Maybe that's where the successful Torah takes. It's not they were great and they had midas. It really was the other way around. The Torah absorbs and stuff, and people really are great. Let me just conclude talking about the union of anova, the union of humility. One of the great tzaddikim was the Trisker Magid. Trisker Magid was Rabbi Avrom Tversky. Trisker Magid was a descendant of Rav Nuchum Chernobler. It's the same dynasty where the Square dynasty comes from, the Rachim Trisker dynasty comes from. Trisker Magid was a great Balmoifis, a tremendous Ovid Hashem. He was the son of Ramotla Chernobler. Ramotla Chernobler was the son of Rav Nuchum Chernobler. Trisker Magid was Nifter in the 1880s. And as a matter of fact, the interesting thing is that very early, the beginning of the, somehow, I believe in the early 1900s, so a group of Trisker Hasidim left Europe, came to America, came to none other place than Denver, Colorado, and they opened the Trisker Shtibel. And to this day, they still exist, not the same people. They're all gone, but there's in Denver there is a Trisker Shtibel, which was founded by the Trisker Hasidim of the Trisker Magid. Tenes shows also there's a young Trisker Rebbe. There's a lot of Rebbes lately, but who's a descendant of the Trisker Magid. There's many descendants, many Aniklech. But let's talk upon this. There's a Rebbe called the Trisker Rebbe. So the Trisker Magid. He said he had many Hasidim who came. By the way, he wrote a sefer called Mogen Avrom. The sefer Mogen Avrom, not to be confused with Mogen Avrom, which of course is Shulchan Aruch, was called Mogen Avrom, which is a starkest sefer on Hasidus, a very starkest sefer on Hasidus. Matter of fact, one of the things that he says over there, that he says, there's a parallel, he said, between Chanukah and Shavuos. See, Ratzadik also talks about it. He says that Chanukah is a yontif of Torah Shebal Peh. Chanukah is the Yontif of Torah Shabbat. We spoke about it by Shulishi. There's also about that, trying to explain it. There's a lot of different ways to show that. But in any case, the Menorah is Ner Mitzvah, the Torah Or. That's what the Menorah represents. Torah represents Torah Shabbat. The Friska Magid just says, he says, you realize that Shavuos is Kabbalah Satorah. Shavuos is the third month. Nisan, Yer Sivan. Sivan is the third month of Kabbalah Satorah. Chanukah is also starting from Tishrei. Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev. Right? There's a Rosh Hashanah from Tishrei, the Rosh Hashanah from Nisan. So it says Chanukah is also the third month of Rosh Hashanah, starting from Tishrei. The Chiluk is Shavuos is mainly the emphasis Kabbalah Satorah, the Koyach of Torah Shebiksav, and Chanukah came really the whole Chizuk of Torah Shebapeh. That's it. All it's that whole thought, the Triska Magid. So he said that he comes on Sukkah's time. He comes towards the door of the Sukkah and suddenly stops. And he can't enter the Sukkah. And many of the Chassidim thought that maybe he's feeling ill, that he's not entering into the Sukkah. And others thought that maybe there's something that he found, maybe a psul in the sukkah. That's why he's not entering. Sometimes happens, you see, there's something that's not proper. So he doesn't want to enter the sukkah. And no one dared to enter the sukkah before the Rebbe himself. And therefore, finally, one of the master Rebbe, why he is waiting. And Rebbe said, he says, listen, he says, sukkah comes after Yom Kippur. And he says, many of the tefillahs of Yom Kippur, he says, are still with me. And he says, and one of the things we say there in the tefillahs, that a person is Adam Yisoyde Meyofer V'Soyfer Liyofer, which means that a person is compared to offer, to a vessel made out of earthenware. Klicheris, Adam Yisoyde Meyofer. A man, right? His foundation comes from dust. And may be, and we say also, Kine Kachoyim Rabbi Yada Yoyser. You might remember in Kol Nidre night. Kine Kachoyim Rabbi Yada Yoyser means we are like clay in the hands of the potter. We are like clay in the hands of the potter. In the same way that the potter manipulates the clay, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu manipulates our lives, controls our lives. So the mashal is, we are like the clay in the hands of the potter. You might realize that in Shulchan Aruch it says that a klicheris should not be brought into the sukkah, because it's a dover mos, it's something that's not becoming the sukkah. Matter of fact, by the way, pots, you know, when you bring in the food into the sukkah, but once you empty the food from the pot should be taken out. Not everybody's aware of that. Because the leftovers, the shirayim, whatever, the pot which is dirty, should be taken out, because it's not because of the sukkah. I want to tell you, we don't pass it that way, but just to realize there is such a shita, Mishabur brings down in the Bir Aloha from the Meiri. Meiri's opinion was that if you have dirty pots in the sukkah, it passes the sukkah, not yoitz in the sukkah. We don't pass it that way. Baruch Hashem. But like upon him, it shows this idea. So you don't bring in a pot in the sukkah, you're supposed to, you shouldn't bring in a klicheris. It's a dover mos. So he says, how can I, he says, a simple Odom Yisoyde Meyofer, Choymer B'Yad HaYoyser, how am I able to enter? How am I able to enter the Sukkah? We're also like Klicheris. He says, the answer is because when a Klicheris becomes Tomei, you know, you can't toivel it. If Klicheris becomes Tomei, how do you remove the impurities? To Shvira. So you know what? The Eitzah is now Lev Nid Shbar Vinid Kelikim, said, let's break our hearts, let's have a broken heart standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's be Misoy to do tshuva. Let's get rid of the Gaiva. Let's stand in humility in front of Hashem. And the schus of having, he says, the Lev Nishbar, shatter the impurity, undertake to be humble, he says, then we will be able, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never reject. Leisivze! HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not reject a humble heart. That's what we have to do, and that's how we go to Sukkah. And that Rabbi says in every mitzvah.